one another. Happy Easter to you all. If you'll all turn to the greeting in your bulletin, please rise, please stay standing. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The grace and peace of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead to bring everlasting hope, be with you all. Let's join in hymn 365, Jesus Christ is risen today. Turn in your bulletins to the Litany of Thanksgiving. Thank you, our Father God, for the news of Easter.
We rejoice in the resurrection story of God.
We are humbled by the magnificence of new life.
And we ask for continual renewal of life, O Father.
For the joy that sprang from the grave, for the happiness that Jesus' friends felt when he recognized them and called them by name, and for the blessing of knowing him.
We give you thanks, O God.
Rekindle in us this Easter the faith you have so generously bestowed upon us through your Holy Spirit.
That our feelings, thoughts, words, and deeds may be directed by our trust in you, O Father.
Shower upon the whole earth, magnificent God, the resurrection news.
That even where people do not know your Son, he may instill justice at the very least.
At this season of the year, when the best news of all is proclaimed again and again, let it especially be heard by those who are sick,
by those who are troubled in any way,
by those who are distressed in mind or spirit,
by those who are dying,
by those who are grieving for a loved one already called to triumphant life with you.
Need even stronger reassurance that yours is the victory over everything that can possibly destroy us.
Reassure them and us that ours too is the same victory through Christ, whom we have accepted in faith.
Unto you, O God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we give praise and honor now and forever. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray.
O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption, and by his glorious resurrection you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. This time we'll invite our choir to sing their praises.
The Lord is risen, risen from the dead. Hallelujah, praise his our King. The Lord is risen, risen as he said. Hallelujah.
Wasn't it? Happy Easter to you all. I'm going to invite the kids to come forward. Grandpa, you can bring your grandkids. And I saw some other kids somewhere here, but there's a few. I know the Easter... Yeah, you can come up, Dean, too. The Easter Bunny did come, so... Come on, Grandpa. Any other kids here? Two kids and Jimmy. Ah, three kids. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Why don't you guys sit right down? You know what, Grandpa? I think these are the smartest kids in the whole wide world. Say, do you guys know what happened today? Why we celebrate? You know what's happening today? There's a man named Jesus who rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, all of us are going to live forever and ever and ever. And I see you got some Easter bunnies. So I think the Easter bunny brought something here. This is the best, the reason we're celebrating, the reason you guys bring Easter baskets and Easter bunnies, is because this is the best day in the whole world. The best day all year long. And I think the Easter bunny came to give you a piece of candy. It's nice and chocolatey, so let it melt in your hand. It occurred to me, and I should tell you guys this, it occurred to me that because this is the best day in the whole year, next year, and we're going to save all our offerings up. And next year at the crack of dawn, we're going to have the biggest fireworks display out in the backyard. At 7 o'clock, just when the sun is rising, we're going to blow fireworks. And if we save enough money, we're going to bring in the New York Philharmonic Orchestra. They're going to play the William Tell Overture with cannon. And we're going to blast and fireworks it and celebrate the best day in the whole wide world. That sound okay? All right. I think they're more interested in the chocolate. So, anyway, happy Easter to you, and the Lord is risen. Jesus has risen from the dead, so happy Easter. Thank you. Okay, Grandpa can take you back. A couple of announcements. Lee Forrester might think this is the happiest day because he had his 70th birthday today, I understand. So celebrate. Best day in the whole year. Second thing is one of our sisters in Christ passed away tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. Donna Moll, we will celebrate her life by remembering her, okay? 2 o'clock here tomorrow afternoon. Tuesday night, anybody who's interested in anything going on with our music and worship program, we're going to evaluate our whole worship and music program, huh? 7 o'clock, our friend Lee Krieger, Bob are moving away. She's been the corner post of our whole music and worship program. So we thought we'd take an opportunity to evaluate what we're doing. Everything from, I watched some of you drive in this morning, parking lot. I mean, even with the wider, we got a foot and a half wider spots. Some of you couldn't even hit between the lines. Everything from driving in to our greeters, to our ushers, to the preaching, to the worship times, to the praise team, to the choir, to the bells, to the whatever else. We're going to look at our worship, okay? So if you'd like to have some input, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And Wednesday, this is a busy week. Our friend Pat Becker has had a chance to study in Israel, and she's going to present a program Wednesday afternoon at 1:30. If you want to have your eyes opened as to what's happening with the in the Mideast, that would be a good opportunity to jump right in. I think that's all the announcements. It's nice to have you here. This time we'll read our first lesson.
The first lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The core of the Christian faith and Paul's teaching is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a crucified and risen Christ appeared to the earliest of his followers, so we experience the presence of the risen Lord in the preaching of this faith. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which you also are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. The psalm today is Psalm 118. Please respond in the bold print where you see the bold art. Please use the refrain, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
By the Lord has this been done. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Please rise for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this Easter Sunday is found in the 20th chapter of St. John. This morning began with confusion. The stone was moved and the tomb was empty. Disciples arrive, then angels, and finally Jesus himself. Out of the confusion, hope emerges, and a weeping woman becomes the first to confess her faith in the risen Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Here ends the Easter story. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "In the Garden." The words are written on your bulletin insert.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father on this joyous Easter morning. Heard a story about a soldier who wrote it into the Reader's Digest to tell about an incident that took place on Easter Sunday in the chapel on their military base. The pastor called all the children to the front and told them the story of how Jesus was crucified and how the Romans had taken him and tried him and crucified him. His body's placed in the tomb, and the front was covered by a big stone. But on the third day, the pastor said, the stone was rolled away and Jesus wasn't there. Then the pastor turned to the children and asked the kids, "Do you know what happened next?" And one of the little boys shouted up, "Jesus turned into a zombie and went after the Romans." And I'm thinking, you know, it's not exactly how the story goes, but that's how a modern storyteller might tell it these days. But Jesus didn't become a zombie, and Jesus didn't go after the Romans. When you read and hear the real story, it's much more beautiful than that. And that's what we have in John's Gospel today. So early on the first day of the week, while it's still dark, a woman named Mary Magdalene comes to Jesus' tomb. Mary is one of Jesus' most prominent converts in the Bible, huh? There were legends that she had been a prostitute, but the Bible doesn't say that. It only tells us that Jesus had delivered her from seven demons. And we don't know what these demons were, but we do know this, that Mary Magdalene was thoroughly converted. Christ was her Lord. Christ was the master of her life. In fact, of all the New Testament characters, Mary Magdalene is the only one that's mentioned in all the Gospels as having been at the cross until the very end. She was there to see his agony. She heard his cries. She watched all hope drain from Christ's face. She heard his last words, his final gasp. The men disciples were mostly in hiding. Even Jesus' brothers and sisters were nowhere to be found at the end. But there at the foot of the cross, Mary Magdalene stayed faithful to the end. So now it's the morning of the third day, and it's Mary Magdalene, of course, who's making her way to Christ's tomb. And she discovers that the stone has been removed from the front of that tomb. Her master's missing, and we can only imagine the thoughts that went through her mind. So she runs to get two of Jesus' closest disciples, report to them that someone had taken the Lord's body. Notice that she doesn't even mention the possibility of a resurrection. It's important to understand that Jesus' closest friends and followers, even Mary Magdalene, were totally caught off guard this morning by the resurrection. Even though he had tried to prepare them, even though he had told them that this would happen, the idea was simply way too big for them to understand until they experienced it firsthand. So the two disciples run to the tomb, the disciple whom Jesus loved, which most scholars think is John, and Big Peter. The small guy gets there first, but is afraid to go in. The big guy gets there second, but he barges right in. That's Peter. And they see the tomb's empty. And since there's nothing more to be done, the men go home. Mary, she's outside now, standing alone crying, and as she weeps, she bends over and looks into the tomb. And there are two angels, one sitting at the head, one sitting at the foot. One of them asks her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She says, "They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." And at this, Mary turns around and sees Jesus standing there, but she doesn't realize that it's Jesus. I imagine that she is crying so hard that her eyes are full of tears. She recognizes him and thinks he's the gardener. Gardener asks, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" And of course, the gardener is Jesus. Thinking he's the gardener, she says, "Sir, if you've carried him, wait. Tell me where you've put him. I'll go get him." And then Jesus says one word. He calls her by name, says, "Mary." And at the sound of her name, Mary Magdalene is brought back to reality. She turns toward him and cries out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher, teacher. She recognizes Jesus. We got this scene, Mary crying at the tomb. Many of you have been there, haven't you? A parent, a friend, perhaps even a child. You've stood there by a tomb and cried. Perhaps you wept so hard that you couldn't even sense the risen Master standing right next to you, seeking to comfort you in your pain. And now you're here this morning, a little place called Bethesda Church and some place called Malmo. And people are gathering all over the world, seeking, as we all do, to hear your name called by the Master, to experience the kind of transformation that Mary Magdalene experienced, to have that fog of doubt or that fog of fear lifted from your mind, lifted from your heart, to know that the good news of Jesus Christ's resurrection really is true. Christ lives. That's the message today. And because he lives, you and I can receive the gift of eternal life. That's why this is the best day in the year for me. We have eternal life. It's natural for us to have these yearnings. Even the most skeptical amongst us have a glimmer of hope that the Easter story is true, that Christ has been raised from the dead, that we have eternal life because of his death and because of his resurrection. I was reading a while back a story out of the Futurist magazine. Futurist magazine is a magazine for people who seek to anticipate the changes that are going to come, that are taking place in our society. I mean, you all know how fast things are changing. The subject of this particular article was virtual immortality. What's virtual immortality? Well, some of you already guessed it has something to do with the computer. You're right. Imagine that everything there is to know about you, your appearance, your mannerisms, your voice, even your knowledge and experience, were all digitized and dumped into a very sophisticated database. The computer churns out all of this information, and the virtual representation of yourself comes out. It would preserve much of your personality, your preferences, your appearance for eternity. That's what they're talking about. In a sense, you would have a form of eternal life inside of a computer. They call that an avatar, huh? An avatar. It might not sound very appealing to you. It doesn't sound very appealing to me. I mean, I've already got the gift of eternal life, immortality. I don't have to learn all that computer monkey business. I don't have to have my DNA placed on some chip and put in a computer so I can live forever. That's already promised to me, and there's going to be a big party in heaven. Maybe it's a party because they're surprised I'm there. Or you're there, Randy. Don't be laughing so hard. But even the most skeptical, the guy who's inventing this, who's working on this, is not a believer. He's not a religious man, but he has placed in his mind this idea of immortality, living forever. Even the most secular and most skeptical among us still have a glimmer of hope that the Easter story is true, that there is immortality, that there is eternity, that Christ has been raised from the dead. Mary Magdalene is there. That morning, Easter has come. Christ is risen. But she's crying at the tomb, and the Master speaks her name. Note that. He spoke her name, and it's when she hears Christ speak her name that the veil of doubt is just erased. Huh? The dread that she's feeling at the moment is gone. Have you ever heard Christ speak your name? I believe if you listen closely today, you will hear Christ speak your name. In Acts 14, Paul's trying to make a point to pagan believers that the living God is revealed in Christ. This is what Paul says. He says, "In the past, God let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." In other words, God is constantly revealing himself to you if our eyes
are open. If we want to see him, we will. And God is speaking our name to anyone who will listen. If you try, if you're crying on the inside this morning, wipe your tears away for a moment and listen, because God is here. God is here in this place at this time, right now. Christ is alive here and now. He's speaking your name. And he's saying to you, it's all real. This is not some pretend thing going on. I am with you, he's saying. I have conquered death, he's saying. Mary's crying at the tomb. The Master calls her name. And just as Christ, you know, just as Christ is calling your name, he called Mary's name. And something dramatic happened in Mary's life. She changed. Mary Magdalene will never be the same again if you follow the accounts, because she was the first human being, male or female, who knew for certain that Christ was alive. What a wonderful thing that would have been. Some of you have heard me quote Pastor Tony Campolo in the past. Some of you undoubtedly are familiar with his sermon. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming, based on a sermon that he once experienced in his home church, which was a black church in West Philadelphia. It's a black church with over 2,500 members. He's the only white member of it. Now, African-American congregations and pastors have their own unique and wondrous approach to the gospel message. And Campolo himself has been deeply affected by this approach. He says he remembers when he went to his first black funeral. 17 years old. A friend of his named Clarence had died. And the minister, he said, was magnificent. He was tremendous. Campolo described the preacher like this. He says, he preached about the resurrection and talked about life after death in such glowing terms that I have to tell you that at 17, I was wishing I was dead myself because I wanted to be there. Then he went over to the family and spoke words of comfort to them. And last of all, in this funeral, he walked over to the casket, which opened, and he preached for 20 minutes to Clarence. He preached for 20 minutes to Clarence. And he preached a message that he never forgot. This black pastor would yell, holler, "Clarence, Clarence," he said with such authority. "I wouldn't have been surprised if Clarence had answered back," he said. "Clarence, you died too fast. You got away without us being able to thank you," he said. And he went down and recounted all the many wonderful things that Clarence had done for people. And then he says at the end, "That's it, Clarence. When there's nothing more to say, there's only one more thing to say, and that's good night." And he walked over to the casket and he slammed down the top and he said, "Good night, Clarence. Good night, Clarence." And he slammed down that top. He said, "Good night, Clarence, because I know, yes, I know that God is going to give you a good morning." And then the choir stood up and started singing, and the people started singing and dancing and hugging and kissing in the aisles, and they were celebrating, singing this music. And Tony Campolo says, "I was hugging and kissing and dancing and doing everything," and he thought, "I knew I was in the right church that day." The kind of church that takes a funeral and turns it into a celebration. That's what the faith is all about. It's about the promise of eternal life. Death doesn't threaten us anymore. We have eternal life because of what happened on this day so long ago. And it can't be expressed any better than that story. If in your heart, for any reason, you're weeping by the tomb this morning, not just the tomb of a family member or a good friend. Maybe it's the tomb of a lifelong dream that's gone wrong. A tomb of disappointment or despair. The tomb of heartbreak or rejection. The tomb of fear or frustration. If you're crying by the tomb this morning, I hope you hear the good news of the day. This is the best day in the year. Jesus is calling your name. He's here with assurance saying, "I live, and because I live, you're going to live." The gospel's true. Jesus is alive. He's alive today, and you can live too. Mary heard that message. Mary heard the Master speak her name, and through her tears, she knew he's alive. He is alive today and forever. That's the message. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn, "He Lives."
We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering during this hymn. Please rise and let us turn to the offertory prayer on the top of page 5. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. With a new heart and a new life, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. In abundant joy, we pray for all Christian assemblies united this morning at the empty tomb. Help us see you in those we do not expect, and remove all fear from our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. In humility, we pray for this planet, our earthly home. Heal what we have scarred and broken. Renew the face of the earth from north to south, from east to west, to reflect Christ's glory. Lord, in your mercy. In hope and love, we pray for the nations of the world. By the light of the resurrection, destroy the shroud that is cast over all peoples. Bring peace to every country, city, village, and household. Lord, in your mercy. In hope, we pray you will wipe away the tears from all who weep. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, send your angels to watch over the vulnerable and sick. Especially we remember those who are near and dear to us. Lord, in your mercy. In grace we pray for those joyfully gathered here by your Spirit. Give us words to boldly proclaim Christ crucified and risen. Feed all visitors here today with your word. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day of resurrection that we celebrate. We thank you for family and friends who gather to worship you, gather to celebrate through meals and visiting. We ask your presence to be with Sue and Dick Stebbins as they mourn the loss of their mother. Watch over them and comfort them. We thank you for celebrations like Lee Forrester's birthday. We thank you for all family gatherings. Be with each family gathered here this morning. Remind us of your love and the joy that is promised to us forever. In thanksgiving, we remember those who saw the Lord in life and now see him face to face. May their faithful witness inspire us to sing our Alleluia again and again. Lord, in your mercy. Passing from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom, from death to life, we commend to you, gracious and ever-living God, all for whom we pray.
Amen.
Let's join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 376.